It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin with the 12th verse, and so that'll be Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to write to us, give us a call by phone. It would be 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. And now we begin to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it is given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What wonderful scripture to read. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can have this opportunity to come together and rejoice together, spend time together in prayer, spend time together in the study of your precious word. It's wonderful, Father, and I just thank and praise you for each and every day that you've given us. Now, please, that you would guide and lead us through your precious word today. Open our hearts up with your spirit that we may know your way and will through your word. Guide and lead us, Father, please. Thank you for a wonderful day. I just praise you for all the blessings that you have given us. Now, please, guide and lead us through this study. Touch every heart, those that do not know you as their Savior, that today they will recognize that they're lost sinners, and they need a Savior. They're condemned going straight to hell if they do not come by faith to Jesus. There's only one way. There's a lot of religions out there, but there is only one way. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So listen to the call of the Holy Spirit, Father. Have them touch their hearts and listen and come. And then, Father, grow us. Feed us and grow us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the precious day you've given us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We left off last time that we were reading in Acts chapter 16, and it was concerning this word, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets that were before you. Now, Paul and Silas proclaiming the word of God. Let's see what kind of persecution they may have faced. I'm sure it's very familiar to you, but it's still very a great value to read. And so Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read the scripture verses from 16 to 34. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 is correct. And it came to pass, as they went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. and he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a beautiful story. But isn't it so sad what the two apostles, these two that loved the Lord Jesus, served the Lord Jesus, gave out that great news of the gospel, what they had to face. And it all came about because this lady that was demon-possessed, and don't think that we don't have demons today, because we do. There is demon possession today, and we need to understand that when somebody acts crazy and acts foolish and does some unbelievable evil things, that there is the demons within them. And the only way that you can get away from those demons is for you to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him as your Savior. You must come by faith to Jesus, and once you do, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and at that time, demons can no longer possess you. They can give you a little bit of trouble on the outside, but they can't possess you. Well, what happened here, they found this woman, and all it was just lies and guessing, because the devil doesn't know tomorrow. God knows tomorrow, but the devil doesn't. And so he follows through. He watches what you do today and tomorrow and the next day. He follows through that, and so then he can make an educated guess of something you might do or something you might say by your past actions. Well, then he puts his demons into this woman, and she would come up with these suggestions or these statements, and you know, people believed them, and it made them a lot of money. Well, if you want to get somebody's attention, that's a perfect place to hit them, and that's right in their pocketbook. That's what happened here, because it wasn't that the demons were cast out, that the owners were angry about. It's that they saw that they were going to lose money, lose a lot of money, and it angered them. And so this is what happened. And so the statement here in verse 17, And the same followed Paul and Silas, saying to them, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days. She just continued to say those things. Isn't it something? And then Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, to these demons, "I command thee out of her." Now, isn't it something that those demons acknowledged who he was, who the Lord God was? These men are servants of the Most High God. They had such a witness and such a testimony that that the demons recognized that and acknowledged that. "And after I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus to come out of her," and he came out, the demons came out that very same hour. "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone," we don't know for sure what happened to her, how her demeanor, how her actions changed, but I believe that it was so dramatic. And the day you meet Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. You'll recognize it, you'll remember it, you'll never forget it, and your life will change. And hers changed so dramatically that they recognized it almost immediately. And they went after Paul and Silas. They didn't go after her to say, "What's the matter with you?" They went after Paul and Silas because they knew who was responsible for it. Drew them into the marketplace, verse 19 tells us. Brought them to the magistrates, verse 20 tells us. "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." What do you mean, trouble our city? It's one woman. But when you affect somebody in their pocketbook, they demand a change. They demand something to be done. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. What customs? Threw the demons out. That's all they did. In the name of Jesus Christ, they're gone. Well, there's the problem. Because they hated and despised the name of Jesus. So they had to come up with something. They had to have some charges that was serious here. So they had to throw in this, "Being Romans, we can't observe these." What do you mean observe these? There was nothing to observe. She was set free. And they didn't like it. The multitudes rose up together against them. Doesn't take much to get a mob stirred up. You can see that today. We can see that in so many places in our own country. Something can take place, and normally it's something that's lawful and good. Something that had to take place. Maybe there was a criminal, and the criminal was shot by the police, for instance. And all of a sudden, we've got a mob, and we've got an uproar, and we've got all kinds of breaking of windows and loitering and just all kinds of things going on. Foolishness. It's foolishness, and it's all devil-driven. You need to understand that. It is all devil-driven. "The multitude rose up against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them." What? What happened here? We have a lady that no longer is demon-possessed. But because of that, the multitude rose up against them. The magistrate don't know what to do, so they've rent their clothes off, and they commanded to have them beaten. Beaten. Can you see the difference today? And it exists today. There is so much of a demand that the world and this country to separate the church and government and let's take God completely out of the picture. Well, who do you think is doing that? It's not man. It's the demons. It's the devil himself is what's raising this nonsense up. And if you're agreeing with it, your God is the devil. And you're following after the devil. You said, "No, I go to church, I'm going to heaven." If you agree that God has no place in our schools, in our government, in our lives, then you, without question, are condemned. You're damned to hell, is where you're going, right to hell, because you have ignored the only free gift of salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We must trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He is the only way. And because they lifted up the name of Jesus, there was an uproar in that city. The old devil, he bust them in. That's what they do today. You know, they bust them in. It's not the local people, but the local people take part of it many times. Because all of a sudden here they bust all these troublemakers in, all these demon-possessed, devil-driven people, and they come in and they call it all kinds of names that they want to call it. It's a racial situation. No, it's not. It's a devil situation. And that's exactly what happened here with Paul and Silas when they had the victory to shed this woman of these demons. And so they commanded to beat them, according to verse 22. And when they had laid many stripes, and that many stripes is, and because we're looking here at the number of stripes, and they always said that with the Romans, they know that the 40th whipping will kill them. And so they give them 39. That's how close to death that they are. And that's what they did to Paul and Silas. They brutally, brutally beat them. And then they cast them into the lower parts of the dungeon. Dark, damp, dirty, spiders and all kinds of nonsense going on down there that they can do nothing about. And they put them in stocks. They bound them. Now, that's the story. Now, why did this happen? It's because the world hates Christ and hates what he stands for. He stands for light and for goodness, and the world is dark. The world is evil. The world is devil-controlled and devil-driven with him and his demons. And if you've been a part of some of these things, I ask you that you repent, turn the other way, tell the Lord Jesus you're sorry and please save me, and he will. But get out of there. Get away from it. Now, what would seem impossible at this time, because they were accused, it was a lie, the accusations were lies. They were beaten for no reason whatsoever. They were thrown in prison in stocks for no reason whatsoever other than being a Christian and speaking the name of Christ. Because that name of Christ, when that was listed, those demons fled. And when the demons fled, then the power that they had over this woman was gone, and they could see that their money was gone. I would rather have this woman bound by Satan, bound by them demons, and making us money, than having her be set free. That's what they were saying. And that's the way the world is today. The world today, and many of them that stand under the name of a preacher, that stand for all this nonsense that's going on, they today need to recognize that they are devil-driven. Demon-driven. Because if you're on the side of Christ, you would not be doing these things. Look what happened to Paul and Silas. Now, the word back in Matthew was rejoice. Now, how in the world could anyone rejoice with this taking place, bleeding, hurt, just a couple of breaths away from death, in the stocks, in total darkness? And what are they doing? Let's see. At midnight, we're not sure of the time that they were put into prison, but at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying. And they prayed. Did they pray for the jailer? Did they pray for those that put him in prison? Did they pray for this lady that no longer is demon-possessed? Who'd they all pray for? Did they pray for the prisoners that they get saved? They prayed that they'd find the Lord Jesus Christ. And they begin to sing. I love to sing. I don't have the voice to sing, but I love to sing. And the Lord, I'm so thankful that he said, make a joyful noise, because I can sure do that. And I love lifting up my voice. I love singing those beautiful old hymns. It's a joy to pray for the folks around you and that the Lord will be able to convict their hearts. And that's what Paul and Silas was doing. Even though they had been beaten and were thrown in prison, they had every reason to be mad, to be angry, but they chose to rejoice. Let's see what happens when we rejoice. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, as verse 25 in chapter 16 of Acts, unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It's very important to see that the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas's, but every prisoner, every murderer, every thief that was in there. Every single one of them. The stocks fell off. Now, how does that happen? Now, the earthquake could have shaken it loose from the wall, for instance. But it sure would not have shaken it off of your arms and your feet. And it may have set a couple of the doors ajar, but not all of them. But see, this earthquake was God sent. And this earthquake shook the earth in such a manner that all the doors were opened and all the stocks were bound fell off, loosed. Bands were loosed. Verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Why would he do such a thing? It's because if you lose one prisoner, you're put to death. And so instead of him waiting to go through the humiliation and everything that would go with that, he just drew a sword. He was going to kill himself. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. How's that possible? How's that possible that we are all here? Do thyself no harm, we are all here. Then he called for a light, and he sprang in. So we know it was dark, plus it was midnight. Sprang in with a light, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. He was asleep. But what did he hear before he went to sleep? What did he hear before he went to sleep? He must have heard something. He must have heard them praying. Did they pray, Father, the one that's keeping this jail, I don't even know his name, but we're going to pray that he gets saved tonight. We're going to pray that he finds you tonight. We're going to pray that, Lord. And somehow, miraculously, you work it out that man gets saved. Is that what they prayed? We don't know. What they sing? We don't know. But look what the jailer said when he brought Paul and Silas out. He brought them out, verse 30. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What wonderful words to be spoken. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, it isn't because this jailer got saved that all of his house got saved. It was because the jailer got saved, and there was such a change in him that when he went home and he proclaimed what he'd heard, what he saw, and what happened, that the whole house got saved. Everybody fell to their knees and said, Lord, please, forgive me. Save me. Set me free from my sin. And he does. What a joy. What a day. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And so you see, they sat there and they listened to the word of God because they were hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because that's what happens the day that you get saved. There is a change in your life and you begin to produce fruit, and that fruit comes immediately, maybe a small amount, but it begins immediately. And so they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And so that jailer cared for them. You see, there's an action. When you get saved, you begin to produce fruit. You do something, and he did. He produced fruit. He took them out, and he washed their stripes, because after their whipping, the dirt and the filth of that dungeon, and this jailer, his household, they took him out, and they cleaned those wounds. And then Paul and Silas baptized them, he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So not only did he wash the stripes, this jailer did, but also he set meat before him. He said, here, please, please. See, there's fruit. There's fruit. So many people today say the words, but there's no fruit. There must be fruit. Salvation must come. And when salvation truly comes, there will be fruit. So if you have no fruit and you say, well, I said that many years ago, you better check your heart. Because if you die today, there's a good chance that you're going to wake up in hell. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful story. But it all comes to the point and the time of rejoicing. Rejoicing. And so when we look back here to Matthew chapter 5, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And this Paul and Silas, these apostles, they were persecuted. Paul was beaten so many times. But they were not complaining. Instead, they were praying. They weren't pleading with God to annihilate all of the guards that had to do with his beating and those things. And instead of that, they were singing praises unto the Lord. You know, the Lord sent this earthquake because the testimony of Paul and Silas to the jailer and to all the house was so clear concerning salvation. Rejoice, believing in God with all our house. That's what happened when Paul and Silas sang. You know, in the early days and today as well, many areas of the world, there are men and women that are burned at the stake. They're beheaded. They're fed to the beasts. Yet many died as Paul and Silas here in their life, rejoicing and praise God for the privilege to be martyred for the cause of Christ. I believe God gives special grace during these times. I believe he gave Paul and Silas special grace. They had a choice to whether come beaten and defeated or come rejoicing, and they chose to come rejoicing. What a wonderful day. We're going to start the next time we're together. We've spent so little time, but it's so important that we see the power of God through this trial and tribulation time. We're going to start with Stephen and go back to Acts chapter 7, and we're going to read some verses of Scripture there concerning the stoning of Stephen and what took place that day. God gives us the strength that we need to get through each day. But he's not going to give that just to anybody. He gives it to those that come by faith to him and are born again. So I ask today that that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you be born again. Accept Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?